it's time. It is that time. Time for Styles and Watkins.
You can join the show by texting 916-339-1140. Find us on YouTube at Sactown Sports 1140.
It's time for Alan Styles and Chris Watkins.
Yes, yes, yes. On a Thursday, Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Simone behind the glass. And we are starting to convince ourselves that the Kings could actually pull this off. And if they're able to survive this, what could happen if they get to OKC, where they have played OKC extremely competitively throughout the whole season? But you got to get through the Pelicans first, even without Zion. We have some eye-popping numbers from CJ McCollum and the shooting. As bad as you think it was in terms of how hot he's been from three-ball land, I'll put it to you like this. It is that bad. It is a number that I've really never seen before. This would be good, Chris, if we were talking batting average. I mean, that's how ridiculous his shooting has been. So we will talk a ton about the Pelicans getting you ready for that matchup. We're also going to break down all of the playoff matchups. We'll give our official predictions tomorrow on who we think is going to take the whole thing, but we will break down all of the playoff matchups, what we saw last night and what we will see in the coming days. We'll also discuss the A's. It's been a little bit since we broke down some A's stuff, so we will get to the A's around 1 p.m. There is a lot going on with elected officials in Nevada saying one thing, other side of the coin saying the other. So we have a ton of sound to play for you. Chris Watkins, how you doing?
Good, man. Yeah, feeling good. Another day closer to finding out if we're going to actually do this thing, man. Like you said, I'm kind of starting to talk myself into it, especially with Zion being out, unfortunately, for New Orleans. But you know, that is good news for the Kings. And, you know, after seeing them play how they played the other day, you know, it feels like anything is possible again. You know, it does feel like after everybody, and or I'll just speak for myself, after being so down on them heading into that game, you know, watching them be able to kind of pull themselves up, it makes me feel like, I know 0-5 feels impossible, but 0-6 just doesn't feel like it's going to be in the cards for this team. I know New Orleans is just a tough matchup, but I just fully believe that anything can happen. And I'm you know, after watching last night's game, seeing Tobias Harris go crazy and watching Kobe White have a career high, I don't think Keegan Murray was our version of that. So I'm hoping that, you know, maybe some of, you know, Trey Lyles. I know Keon had a great game as well, but watching some of those others, as the TNT crew would call it, you know, win their team, they're playing games. It makes me like, oh, you know, what would the Kings version of that look like?
Right. Well, yeah, the thing is, it wasn't a career high for Keegan. Has a lot more points than that this season. Yep. So that makes you feel like that wasn't any type of one-off. Keegan's going to get those shots up. And, you know, I know I think it might have been just last week, I talked about how I wasn't that confident with Keegan shooting in the fourth quarter simply because it's just a position that he hasn't been in a ton. And it wasn't just Keegan Murray. It was all of the others, the quote-unquote others, if you will. But Keegan went out there and proved people like me wrong. And hopefully he does the same thing. The stakes are only going to get higher every round you get. So you can feel good about what the guys did, what the Kings did in this game. Now you have an even bigger game. And if you win that game, the next game's even bigger. And that is why it is so important. And I know I tried to force the, hey, if you're beating the Warriors, is that better than getting to the second round? I know I tried to force that down your throat yesterday and you weren't going. You stood your ground. And the reality is that you're right. And getting the experience of shooting a basketball in the second round, maybe as a fan, it might be fun to talk trash to your Warrior friends that are fans of the Warriors. But in terms of this team and the development of this team, nothing can replicate or duplicate that level.
Yeah,
at all.
No, nothing can. And, you know, that's the thing that this team needs more than anything, arguably, is just experience. Like, you know, I know last year, obviously, going through that 7-game series with the Warriors, playing in a game 7 against the Warriors is good experience, but there's nothing better than just continually figuring out, okay, this is what it took to get through the first round. What is it like to even be in the second round? What kind of adjustments do we need to make? How does fatigue set in differently in the second round? Do we need to manage it? How do different guys step up? How do we adjust from, you know, going all out for seven games with one strategy versus almost having to completely flip it because now we have a completely different opponent 2 days later? All of this stuff is what the Kings are going through. You could argue, even with this play-in situation, they're gaining experience game planning for the Warriors. And then 2 days later, game planning, not like a regular season game plan, a postseason game plan for the Pelicans. And then if they beat the Pelicans, they don't have time to celebrate. No. It's 2 days later. They have game one in OKC, if that's going to be the case. So all of this is great learning experience. And yeah, the further and further you go, obviously the more and more experience you're going to gain, the more things you go through. And even if it's not all positive, Mike Brown has made it clear this year that, you know, this is, it's what this season is about. It's about learning as many lessons as possible until the time runs out. And I think that's the biggest hope right now. And that would, of course, be one of many disappointments if the Kings can't get it done. But I definitely think the biggest one would just be the fact that, you know, I still think that this team does have some learning to do. They were meant to still gain some experience in the postseason after last year. And ultimately, you know, I know we talk about is winning that one game enough? I think it is for feeling some positivity heading into the offseason. But realistically, your goal isn't completed if you don't make the postseason this year. So you gotta at least get to the dance. And, you know, they got one game separating them. They get lucky and got some help with Zion being out. It's time for them to capitalize because too many times this year, it's literally become a joke that, oh, the other team doesn't have their best player. Well, now the Kings are going to lose by 30. Right. And that literally happened against the Pelicans earlier this year. Hopefully the Kings, if they've truly grown throughout this season, it won't happen again.
And you can sit there, and I've referenced this a bunch of times because this is when I was listening to the station heavily as we were getting ready to figure out if I was going to make the trip over to SAC and set up shop out here. So I'll never forget listening to you and Whitey during the media day. And I listened to, you know, every segment. It was an outstanding show that you guys did. And just hearing how many Kings players and the organization talk about a championship and truly believing that, whether we thought it was realistic as media or as fans, doesn't matter. That's what they truly believed. So you can't go back now, even as things change throughout the course of the season, you can't go back now and say, well, we didn't know the Timberwolves were going to be that good. And well, we didn't know the Thunder were going to take a step. And Malik Monk, there's no excuses. Right. There are no excuses. And Mike Brown knows that. De'Aaron Fox knows that. Sabonis knows that. Everybody knows that. And we'll have that conversation on a deeper level when the season is over.
Right.
But to that point, to go from championship aspirations to not making the playoffs, even if you sent the Warriors packing, they can't call it a success.
Right.
And Mike Brown didn't call it a success. And he probably won't. They will say there were some successful things.
Right.
But you cannot fully call it a success. The 916. And by the way, we don't know how much longer this season's going to go. Normally, we open the phone lines a little bit later in the show. But these next couple days, man, we want to hear from the people. 916-339-1140. All guests and callers, join us in the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. We will take calls from 10 to 2. We will sneak you in.
Yeah.
Okay, Simone might say, Alan, we got to go. Chris, we got to go. We will figure it out. We want to hear from the people. From the 916 on the text line, we broke the streak with the Bucks this season.
Yep.
We can break this streak with the Pelicans, too. Chris, correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't they also break
Sixers.
The 76ers streak?
Yes, yeah.
There you go.
It's a year of breaking curses, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's do it. We broke the Warriors dynasty up.
And, that's right.
You know, broke the bad juju that they left last year. I'm curious too. Yeah, I want to echo what you said there because I'm really, really curious how the fan base is feeling leading into this game. I know, you know, we got our typical callers, and I know everyone's gonna have some sense of optimism. But heading into that Warrior game, I think there was a lot of realism heading around where people were saying, you know, I don't know. I think that the Warriors playing really good basketball. They're all healthy. Kings not being healthy just doesn't feel like it's in the stars.
Mm-hmm.
Now that you have that win, and I'm curious because Pelicans are obviously 5-0 against the Kings this year. Kings are on the road.
Right.
This year has the story, the one word that we use to describe this team is inconsistent.
Yep.
Well, what would an inconsistent team do? They would have a fantastic performance in one game and then completely drop the ball in the next one and look like a completely different team. So I'm just curious, really, how a lot of people are feeling out there. Do you feel similar? Do you feel a lot better? Did the Warriors win change your opinion significantly? I think that there's a lot of people who, after that Warrior game, again, kind of doing the impossible, or what maybe people in their minds right. thought was impossible, and after getting to the other side of that successfully, I would guess that people would be feeling really good, feeling like we got our swagger back, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, the fact that you lose five times in a row and how hard it is to lose six times in a row, it just feels like I could sense a lot of reasons to be optimistic. I'm just not sure if it's quite sunk in. And, you know, how much of that is just faith and how much of that is truly, no, like with Zion out, I do think that these guys, Keon's taking a step. Mm-hmm. You see, you know, the game Keegan Murray has, I believe that these guys can replicate it.
Yeah, and I think for me, and not to harp on the will it be a success or will it not, but I do think for me, if it's a good game, right?
Yeah.
If it's a good game, yes. I'm not opposed to saying, okay, they laid it all out there. They are missing Malik. They
right.
are missing Kevin Herter. Yeah. I know Zion would be missing too, but you did lose with Zion missing. So if it's a good game,
yeah.
and I'm looking here, at we'll break down all of the five matchups. And the one close matchup, this was, I believe it was number three? I think it was number three. It was 117 to 112.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a game I'm just double checking. Yeah, that was their third. That was the second matchup when they were kicking it in New Orleans. And in that matchup, there was no Keegan Murray. So the only game it was even close was with Keegan Murray. Chris Duarte, there's a name drop.
Right.
6 points there. Harrison Barnes, 22.
Right.
De'Aaron Fox, 26. Sabonis, 23. How they lost, how the game was lost, Zion, 25. Brandon Ingram, 23. And really, it was just mixed up by then. You know, Chris, one thing we haven't seen, Valanciunas, and like I said, we'll break him down. Valanciunas had a couple big games. There was a game he had 18. In this game, he had 15 and 11. And, you know, besides that, nothing really too crazy. Alvarado, 10 points. Hawkins, 13. Who, Hawkins? Is he injured, Hawkins?
Yeah, I don't know, because he was a really, really big piece for them early in the season, and I know he's a volume shooter. Maybe his percentages are just really far down. I haven't seen much from him recently. Definitely didn't notice him in that play-in game that they played the other day. So I'm actually not sure if he's 100% healthy or if he's just kind of fallen out of favor there in New Orleans.
When we return, yeah. we will continue to break down this matchup. We have a listener came in with a gear that they wanted to grind. So we will break that down. This is not from Chris and I, but I think we do have some thoughts on it. Also, 11 o'clock, okay? Mad Dog Russo had some things to say about the Beam. He was loud and he was wrong. Okay, 11 o'clock, you're not going to want to miss what he had to say. He was completely incorrect. He was completely out of order. We'll play the audio, we'll react, and we'll get your thoughts. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. You know, Chris, we were talking about this during the break. So I do want to say, unless there is a health reason, if there's a health reason, then obviously that's not what I'm talking
yeah.
about here, okay? But assuming there is no health reason, we were talking about Jordan Hawkins, and you did some research, because he's kind of a sniper. I mean, he can shoot the basketball,
yeah.
but hasn't really been playing lately. You said you looked it up, and no injury. He's just got benched.
Yeah, just been kind of boo-boo, honestly. He's shooting under 40% from the field this season, 36% from three, but I think a lot of those coming from beyond the arc, and just hasn't been efficient, and I'm looking at it. It really doesn't look like he's played much. Many minutes, that is. He's played in a lot of games, but a lot of 5, 7, 10-minute stretches, and really, he didn't play four of their last five games at all, so it seems like he's just kind of fully out of the rotation because he is a rookie still. So
that's right.
You know, they got a lot of veterans. They got Herb Jones. They got, you know, Trey Murphy. They got tons
right.
of guys who do exactly what they want Jordan Hawkins to do, so I think he's just kind of fell out of favor there.
Not part of that that rookie duo.
Yeah.
The top rookie duo, Trace Jackson and Pajemski. I saw
out.
Pajemski, they had their, you know, end of season.
Right. What's that like?
And,
jeez.
Yeah. And
a little
he was saying, you know, naturally I'm gonna get the ball
I
more.
I saw that too. Is that guy, like,
I know.
Just for a second, is Brandon Pajemski okay? Like, is he, like, is this a bit? Is he, because there's no way that they traded Jordan Poole and then drafted Jordan Poole.
Because Jordan Poole, the word on the street was that Jordan Poole had a slick mouth, but that
real
was
slick.
But that was on the court.
Yes, yeah.
Because even Dame, I think he was on the Draymond pod,
right,
and
right.
Dame said this dude was coming off the
crazy.
Bench
yeah.
talking crazy in game.
Yeah.
But Jordan Poole in interviews was actually pretty goofy
yeah.
and pretty quiet. Pajemski, he's really
lunatic,
he is
bro.
Cosplaying.
I think he actually thinks he's Jack Harlow.
No,
I think he actually has the confidence of a rapper.
Yeah.
Where it's like,
that collab
this
is coming
from,
this
bro.
Summer. I can tell you that much.
Yeah,
he is cosplaying a top pick that is a foundational piece. For the Warriors.
Was Pajemski the seventh pick or was that Kuminga? I can't tell.
I'm pretty sure
I cannot
in
tell.
His mind, and I get why he behaves like that to some degree, but in his mind he's thinking, if we're going to keep this dynasty going, I don't know about Clay or Draymond, but if we got me and Steph, we got a chance.
We got a chance.
Me, Steph, and Trace,
like,
we got a chance.
I haven't talked to anybody in the organization, but just off of like vibes, feels like next year I should get the ball a lot
naturally.
More. He did.
It was either organically or naturally.
He said it's a natural progression for me to get the ball more next season. Looking forward to that and, you know, just the growth with me and Steph. And, you know, whatever happens with Clay in the future is what happens with Clay in the future. But honestly, let me tell you, Dub Nation, you don't need to worry about that.
No.
It's pods time.
It is pods time in the Bay, which I think most people – I mean, what is that? That is the – equivalent of people, I mean, in Atlanta. I mean, no disrespect to Kirk Cousins. I'm trying to make a comparison here for, and I know you're probably going to get another, it could even be the Raiders, right?
Sure.
Hey, we know y'all got CJ Stroud, y'all got Patrick Mahomes, we got Gardner Minshew.
Right.
That's what we're rolling with.
What was that
one when, who was it? It was Anthony Edwards. Anthony Edwards, and he says,
they were talking about Paul George, I think, or KD.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, we got Jaden McDaniels.
Yeah, we got Jaden McDaniels. That's okay. Pajemski's mind. He's like, as long as we got myself and Trace, the dynasty
might be
not
the
going
Splash
anywhere.
Brothers, but me and Steph are the Splash Twins.
Exactly.
One and the same.
Hilarious. Yeah, the one thing with Jordan Hawkins, that's what I was saying.
Yes,
you know, I preface this.
That's right.
I preface this with, you know, obviously if there's a health reason or whatever. But, brother, you can't do the shirt under the jersey in the NBA.
No.
How many successful, and let's get a list here.
Let's do it.
Who is the best NBA, this is very summer of us.
Sure.
Who is the best NBA player that wore a t-shirt under his jersey? I need names.
Yeah, and we're talking like a t-shirt, not like the new,
the
Under Armour, the tight, you know, compression shirts or anything like that. A straight up t-shirt.
Yeah. You get rid of the t-shirt, maybe you'll get some playing time, Jordan. But do it after
Friday. Take your career serious.
Wear it on Friday. You don't have to start after that.
Actually.
Speaking of the play-in, you know, and this was somebody who we got a listener, a fan that came in and said, hey guys, can you talk about this for the Grind Your Gears segment or Fair or Foul? And we are a show of the people, so we want to bring it up.
Yeah.
Play-in stats not counting at all.
Sure.
And Coby White goes off yesterday, career high, and he scores 42 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, and it lives in the upside down. It's just floating somewhere in basketball reference.
Yeah. It's not on his, like, it doesn't go towards his official season stats. It doesn't go, like, you know, I don't know if it even truly counts as his career high.
That's true. Like, where would it count?
I don't know how you would list it. Like, is this just the equivalent of like a summer pro-am game or something like that? Like, I don't know how they would actually count this because it doesn't, literally on NBA.com, you have regular season, preseason, summer league, play-in stats. So I don't know if this lives.
So it's his career high in the play-in.
And I'm looking right here at Basketball Reference right now, and it says career high for Coby White, 37 points against the Sacramento Kings.
And that was
his
the game
two they, career yeah. highs, actually. 36 and 37 both happened in Sacramento.
Which one was the L from this season?
That was the 36. That was actually – the 37 was actually in a – oh, I'm sorry. It reads W, and so I read it as mm-hmm. it's a Chicago.
So it was
W.
The 37.
It was the 37. Yes.
And I know we've had 18 by the ways in this segment, but by the way, we don't talk. That's a loss that, you know, the two losses, and I know there's 30 something to choose from, but we all talk about the Hornets loss.
Yeah.
And we all talk about the Pistons, right. Obviously.
Yep.
And the Blazers.
Right.
There's a couple that we don't talk about enough.
Yep.
We don't talk about the Bulls loss enough. And because it's heat culture,
that's what I was gonna
we
say
don't
too.
Talk about that
right.
loss. But that was bad. I know it's over now.
Yeah.
But just when we're breaking this
Washington
down.
Washington, too.
Yeah, Washington. Washington.
God.
When we're breaking this whole thing down, whenever it's all said and done, I don't want to forget how bad those losses were.
Absolutely.
As well.
No, those are going to be lost in time for sure because they were in a weird period of, I think they were playing easier. It was a period in which like the standings were a bit in flux, too. And it was they were coming back from home, and that was when they had the weird stretches of
every time they would come back,
the homecoming games would just be a mess. Definitely not going to get forgotten. And that was one where, you know, Chicago kind of condensed the paint and the Kings couldn't do anything. But so shout out Colby White yesterday, who did play incredible. I mean, to have that kind of performance in the play-in. And by the way, the Atlanta Hawks, like, I don't know what they're doing either. I mean,
that's
a situation where they've spent a pretty penny on that roster, too. There's a lot of talk about one of Trey or DeJounte Murray is pretty much definitely getting traded this offseason. Mm-hmm. They signed Quinn Snyder at the end of last year to, like, turn that into a winner. They end up being a 10 seed after Bogey. Shout out Bogey, Sacramento King, great. Like, had a career year, and they finished as a 10 seed and get booted by the Bulls, who aren't very good either.
I mean, yesterday, I don't know if DeJounte Murray is considered undersized, but he's definitely not a big guard. And I just think that we know at this point, no matter how good a scorers they are, there's a cap on undersized guard duos. Okay, the best guard duo I think the past decade, besides the Splash Bros, and Clay does go 6'6", 6'7", would be Dame and CJ. And the best they did was go to, I think, the Western Conference Finals. I mean, nowadays you can have one undersized guy, you can't have two. You just need to even it out. And I think those two it wasn't going to work unless you put some really ridiculous pieces around them. And yeah, Atlanta, maybe Quavo should be the GM because I don't know what they're doing over there. Phil, we see you. You've been hanging on. We will get to you in a second. Don't go anywhere. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Text lines coming in for T-shirt wearers that balled out. Someone said Chris Mullin. I Googled Chris Mullin off the top of my head. I didn't see any. Chris
Maybe
Mullin.
In college. I mean, in college.
Yeah, we're talking it's NBA.
Oh, you're talking NBA.
Yeah,
okay.
Bald in NBA. Somebody says, here's a good one from the 916. Kevin Garnett wore a T-shirt.
Yes, he did.
Was he the last one? It definitely ended when I think Under Armour and the tighter fitting.
Yeah, that definitely was the shift. I remember Corey Brewer was like the last one in college that was like really prominently wearing one. I think Rondo wore one in college. You know, there was always like the Ohio State, like
Aaron Kraft,
wore one. Yeah.
But if you wore a T-shirt in college, I trust you.
Yes,
March Madness comes around.
Right.
You have to have two dudes with T-shirts for me to pick you to win the whole thing. If nobody was wearing a T-shirt, because if you're not wearing a T-shirt, I don't trust you.
No, you got to trade in the T-shirt for like some arm sleeves or leg sleeves or something.
Once you get drafted.
Exactly.
And you can afford Under Armour. 916-339-1140. Let's go to Phil, who's been hanging on. What's up, Phil? You're on Stiles and Watkins. What you got for us?
Hey guys, love your show. It's your first time caller. I'm all in on the Kings now. It's been a Jekyll and Hyde kind of year, as we know, but now it's all about momentum and matchups, you know, and the fact that Zion's not there, and he was the main reason that they stayed in the game against the Lakers, and we've always been good against the Lakers. So I think this is a great matchup against the Pelicans, who are reeling a little bit, and you know, Kings got all the momentum in the world after knocking off the Warriors. What do you think?
Yeah, we talked a little bit about it, and thanks for listening, Phil. Yeah, we talked a little bit about it yesterday as far as who should feel more confident going into it. And Chris landed on the Kings. I'm not sure that I gave an answer, but I'd have to say the Kings. I will say this. I know rest is always good, But in this situation, and I might be complaining about it because for selfish reasons, I would have loved for the game to be tonight and just have something to do. But if the game was tonight, I'd feel even more confident in the Kings. I do think it helps the Pelicans to have a couple days to reset,
sure,
flush that loss. So I do think some of the quote-unquote momentum will be lost a little bit compared to if it was right after,
right,
that just happened, and now you got to face a red-hot Kings team who just beat the Warriors. You can make the argument on the other side, emotional victory for the Kings. Maybe it'll be good for them to refresh.
Right.
They could have felt like, I don't think this would have happened because I know how focused they are, but they could have felt like their championship was just won.
Sure.
And then you got to go face a Pelicans team and the Pelicans are ticked off. So you can look at it two different ways. If you're making me choose, and we're going to go over the different numbers with the last five games here. If you're making me choose, it might sound crazy. Maybe it's purple lenses, but I got to say the Kings. I mean, the Pelicans have been free falling, but the free fall, I think, is maybe a little overstated because they beat up the Kings and then they beat up the Warriors.
Sure.
It's a weird cycle, and I'm trying to remember what the full cycle was in the Western Conference. The Lakers can't beat the Kings. The Kings can't beat the Pelicans. The Pelicans can't beat the Lakers. Is that right?
That sounds right. Yes.
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 Yeah. The Kings can't beat the Pelicans. Yep. The Pelicans can't beat the Lakers, and the Lakers can't beat the Kings.
Yep.
And that's what it's been.
It's an endless cycle of trying to figure out who has the edge.
So the same way we're not feeling as great because you have to face the Pelicans, I think the Pelicans, very similar. I'm going to take it to baseball here. Even if a new Giants, right, when Blake Snell was in the World Series and they pulled him, and a lot of people felt like, well, his arm was tired. They had seen him three times through the order here. If you ask most hitters, they'll say, I don't care how tired his arm was, I'll take a fresh pitcher over a more tired guy who's just been owning us.
Right.
And I think that the Pelicans, they might feel like that. The Kings have no choice but to feel confident because this just is what it is. But I do think if the Pelicans had to choose between the Warriors and the Kings, the Pelicans, they're choosing the Kings.
Absolutely.
They're choosing the Kings.
Absolutely. Yeah, no question about it. I mean, they've dominated that team all year. You also, like, a big part of it too is you don't have the mystique of Steph Curry that, you know, might slip into some of your players' head. And, mm-hmm, you know, I think the Pelicans obviously have a ton of confidence playing against this Kings team. I don't think they're really afraid of anybody. I mean, they've slowed down De'Aaron Fox. They've slowed down Domantas Sabonis. They've slowed down the entire Kings offense, mm-hmm, at points throughout this season. So I don't think they have much doubt in their abilities to get this job done. It is going to be on the Kings to bring the proper energy. I mean, I think the ball is in their court. I would say, I don't think more pressure is necessarily on the Kings, but I definitely think that they understand that this game probably goes the Pelicans' way unless the Kings do something to change the course of the game. Like, they have to bring the right energy. They have to, same things we talked about against Golden State. You got to win the 50-50 balls. You have to make your free throws like they did the other day. Mm-hmm. You've got to hit open shots like they did the other day. And ultimately, yeah, you do have to get a little bit lucky. They've already gotten a little bit lucky with Zion not being able to go. But you've got to have, you know, CJ McCollum's been going crazy. I know you got numbers on that. He needs to at least come back to earth.
Yeah.
You know, last time they played, Jose Alvarado was 4 of 6. In that playing game, he couldn't hit a shot.
Yeah.
So I you know, they need some of those things to go their way. And, you know, of course they gotta handle their stuff too. And De'Aaron's gotta be great, and Sabonis can't lose that Valanciunas matchup. And yeah, you know, you're gonna need one of your forwards to probably step up, one of Keegan Murray or Harrison Barnes, just like Keegan Murray did last game. It's not gonna be easy, but again, if you beat that Warriors team, realistically, I think that this Kings team feels like this is a much lighter task than what they just did.
I think so much of this game is between the ears,
yeah,
Chris.
Exactly.
It's not even funny. I mean, the Kings, it's weird because as far as the national media is concerned, who I don't even know if they'll do picks on the Pelicans.
No.
They don't have time.
They don't care.
They'd rather talk about, yeah, the Cowboys,
right,
and how they are all in,
sure,
than make picks on this Pelicans-Kings game. But from what I've heard so far, because they don't really pay that much attention, they're all picking the Kings. So I think the national look at this with no Zion,
right,
a lot of people aren't putting that much on the fact that the Kings are 0-5. They're saying it's the Kings are hot now.
Right.
It's postseason. There's no Zion. The Kings should get this done. So again, Chris, you know me, and we can look up the official line. I know it continues to move, but I really, really, really like the Kings as an underdog. I'm not a huge fan of the Kings as a favorite, so that does worry me. Will they be now? Doesn't worry me as much because in their mind they're thinking, how could they be a favorite?
Right.
They haven't. It doesn't matter what national media is saying. Doesn't matter what we say. We haven't beat this team.
Yeah.
So I don't even know if they can convince themselves to be any. I don't. Vegas must not have been watching the games.
Right.
That's clearly how I'm looking at it. If I'm the Sacramento Kings. When we return, continuing the conversation, some human-like numbers against the Lakers we will rattle off for you. And don't forget, 40 minutes, Mad Dog is going to get a stern talking to from myself, from Chris, from you. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Chris, for the first time, the ESPN probability thing is always a little sketchy, but the Kings had a 50.4% chance to beat the Warriors. Now, I guess if you're doing probability versus a line, the line was, I think it got to 3 eventually.
Yeah, I think it was like 3 or 3.5.
Yeah, so I feel like the line was a smidge more aggressive than the ESPN probability, but ESPN had the Kings as a favorite, and their probability thing is normally way off.
Where is it now for the Kings?
That's
Pelicans?
What we're going to confirm.
Gotcha.
Yes, because okay. I'm not going to like it. I'll tell you that much.
Okay. Yeah, I'm seeing the line is still Kings favored by 1.5. So they are currently the favorites for what it's worth. I'm actually looking. Okay, here we go. I have the matchup predictor right in front of me. It's normally
for ESPN?
Wrong. For ESPN. You said it's normally wrong?
Normally it gets roasted.
Okay. What would you think it is? Again, the Kings are 1.5-point favorites.
I would say they're probably doing it close again. I would say Kings, they would say Kings have a 60% chance of winning.
Okay. Simone, would you like to hop in here? No, it's fine. It's fine. We'll just do it. No. I will just say no. That is incorrect.
So I'm going to feel better about this.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
I think you will.
Okay.
Which number do you want first? Kings or Pelicans?
Ooh. Simone's here now.
Oh, okay. Simone, do you want to try and guess what ESPN has as their matchup predictor for
I
how
said
this
60%.
King, yes. What percent chance do you think they give the Pelicans?
You're giving them 60% favoring the Pelicans
the
for
Kings.
You?
Favoring
oh, for the Kings.
Kings.
Okay.
He's favoring the Kings. It is 1.5-point favorite for the Kings. But Alan, I guess, just pointed out that does not dictate necessarily what the predictor does.
To put it in perspective, they were 50.4%.
Yes, that's favorites. Exactly what I'm thinking. I feel like it's going to be similar to that last game, and it's going to be a coin flip. So give me 49.8.
Please. Okay. It is Pelicans. 62.1%.
Whoa!
Kings 37.9%.
Give it to me! Hey, that's what I like.
So that is according to
the
ESPN
underdogs
analytics.
Are back.
I don't know what they use. What they use to predict it, but according to ESPN analytics, which maybe takes heavily factors in the
they watch
0-5.
The games. They watch the games. Vegas did not watch the games.
62.1% chance that
I
the
love that.
Pelicans win.
I love that.
Oh, you think darkness is your ally?
That's right. That's right. Underdog season.
That's right. Yeah.
Underdog season. Wow.
Yeah.
That's more than I thought.
Right there.
That's way more than
that's
I thought.
That's crazy.
I thought you were going to say 52, 53.
I would have guessed a lot more, like where Simone was. Like the 50s, pretty much a 50-50 split. Probably like 51% Pelicans, maybe 52. But 62%. And again, I don't really know exactly what those numbers are based off of, but that is definitely large enough of a large enough difference to say that that's a pretty heavy favorite for New Orleans. So it makes sense. I mean, it definitely makes a lot of sense. But at the same time, I mean, you know, that's not probably factoring in momentum and vibes. And, you know, I think there is a bit of, you know, you flip a coin so many times, it's It's not going to come up heads every time. You know, it can't come up heads every time. Not statistically.
Not every time. Well, yesterday I did meet someone, and I said this joke to you, and I said it on the air. Really, I met someone yesterday with four girls.
Yes, yeah, that's it.
So
that is crazy.
But it's not six.
Yeah,
it's not six.
It's not six. Like four is like, wow, that's pretty crazy. It's not unheard of. But
right.
That's pretty crazy.
I have a buddy. He's one of four boys.
Yeah. And then
six.
Yeah. And five is like, wow, that's a lot.
And that's how we felt after the
game.
But
if you have another. It's probably like, you know, you're probably going to, you know, you keep swinging that bat, eventually you're going to make contact, you know?
Eventually. All right. The probability of Klay Thompson is up in the air.
Yeah.
And how that connects to the Kings is obviously Malik Monk. Who is higher on team's wish list and what does Klay Thompson want to do? This is Shams talking about Klay Thompson and what the marketplace looks like.
Klay Thompson is very open to seeing his marketplace in free agency. We've discussed it. We've talked about it. The Warriors offered him an extension before the season, 2 years, $48 million. He declined it. He believes at that point, and I think still as the years have gone on, that he is worth more, deserves more. I'm told his free agency is going to be about respect. It's going to be about principle as far as where he stands in that Warriors organization. Four championships. He's come back from an ACL injury. Mm-hmm. He's come back from an Achilles injury. And because of what he's done, feeling like he's deserving, he has a lot of thinking to do this summer. He's going to have interest in the marketplace. Like, there's going to be teams that are going to want Klay Thompson. You look at his second half of the season, though, 19 points a game, 45% from the field, almost 42% from three-point range. It's going to be the hardest call in his life to make if he does end up finding another spot to leave. As far as calling Steph Curry, calling Draymond Green, calling them and saying, I'm gone. But he is going to be open to testing the market.
Wow.
You know.
That's crazy.
Shams brings up the respect thing.
Yeah, that's what caught my ear.
I'm on Spo track. Okay? Four championships. And let's keep it a buck. Two of those championships, you were the third option. All right? And they paid you. After you tore your ACL, which you did deserve.
Yep. Two seasons pretty much where he didn't play and still got paid.
This is when he signed that contract. This was in 2019 when they lost to the Raptors. Klay Thompson signed a 5-year, $189 million contract with the Golden State Warriors. Okay. After that, it is nobody's fault, but Klay Thompson tore his Achilles. So that was another year that they were paying you to sit on the bench. He made $32.7 million, $35.3 million, $37.9 million, $40.6 million, and this season he made $43.2 million to score 17 points a game, 3.3 rebounds, 2 assists, and put up a donut in the play-in game. The respect... I'm really interested to see what he deems as respect. Because, homie, we already paid you for what you did that last run. You were getting paid top dollar while you were injured. And then in 2022, are we sure Jordan Poole wasn't the second option?
Yeah.
Or dare I say Wiggins? Andrew Wiggins?
Man.
I don't know what respect is.
Klay's got a certain view of respect.
It's
that's
funny
for sure.
to me when we see athletes that are – there's so many athletes that we sit there and we see them and we think they don't care about money. They just want to have fun. They want to kick it with their dog. They want to be on a boat. And then when it's contract time, it's a little bit different than when they're sitting at the podium and life is all Gucci. I feel like he's been respected. No, you don't deserve to be paid $10 million or anything ridiculous like that. But whatever that line is, I'm very curious to see.
Yeah, no, and I mean, I heard Sam Amick on this morning with Dave and Jason kind of talking about this as well and talked about Klay's comments he made yesterday in the exit interview, brought up what you just meant. He's like, could you imagine if they didn't pay me after I got hurt? Wow, that would have been crazy for them. So in his eyes, that's what respect is. Respect is, it doesn't matter what I'm going to bring you. It's the totality of what I've brought.
We already paid you for that, homeboy.
Exactly. That is not the reality of the situation. That's how you lose, is by paying people for what they've done in the past.
Yeah.
And if Klay still wants that respect, like, I'm sorry, you might have to go somewhere else to find somebody who wants your talents like that. And that's what free agency is for, is to go out, and if you think you have a certain value, go find it.
Yeah.
Go find it, because the open market will tell you what your actual value is. If someone's willing to pay Clay that, if our friend Michelle Beadle in that clip yells out Orlando
Good
Magic.
Friend of the show.
Great friend of the show. If she wants, or I'm sorry, if Clay wants to go get that bag, Orlando can offer it to him, but are they going to throw him that 20 mil? Because frankly, Orlando, it's great Clay won 4 rings for the Warriors. What? That ain't doing nothing for the Magic. It might sell some extra tickets, but like, they ain't going to pay Clay $25 million just because he won some titles in the West Coast. They're going to pay him for what he can bring them the next 3-4 years or however long the deal is. That's the reality of what the business you're in, Clay. So, you know, it's great that you want to be respected. I would say they already showed you massive
respect.
They
definitely did.
They were the number one payroll in the NBA this year.
Yeah.
And I don't think they believed that they were actually going to win a title.
No.
That's respect. They did that because they wanted to respect what y'all had built. It's over now. I'm sorry. The time for respect is not here. Y'all need to start winning again. That's how this thing works. I know you just won a couple years ago, but it's not about that. It's about the next one that you can win. And if you can't help them get there, I'm sorry, you're not going to be there to help them.
If he does command that much money or more money, if he wants 25 mil, that's good. Because if Orlando, if he convinces somebody a sucker is born every day, that's good for Malik to say in Sacramento.
Sure is.
Because 25, that we don't want Malik to get anything like that. Coming up next, 11 o'clock, Mad Dog is going to get a stern talking to. We play the sound. He's being disrespectful for no apparent reason. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.